Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, reading from the King James, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And of course, we've been sharing that that word transform, the root of that word is actually, that Greek word is really metamorphosis or metamorpho-ou is really the Greek word. But where we get our word metamorphosis from, it means to change into something else. So we could, all of us know a caterpillar, if it goes into a cocoon, at some point in time, it does what? It changes into another form. And that's really what we're talking about here, that as we meditate upon the word, it will literally transform us, change us into another person. And we all want that. And what does the scripture say? You have the mind of Christ. Well, God said in his word, you have the mind of Christ. And we say, well, boy, I sure would like to. And he says, but you do, and you have a responsibility to attain that. He wouldn't tell us something to do if we couldn't do it. Then that would be unjust. So that means we can do it, but that means we have to control our thoughts. We have to take control of our thoughts. And so here it says that the renewing of our mind is tied to this transformation here, or the transformation, is tied to what? The renewing of our mind. And that word renewing means renovation. Some of us need some renovation. We need change. You know, any of us think that we've arrived, then that means, if you think you've arrived, that means that your thoughts, all your thoughts are Christ-like. Well, I can admit mine aren't, and neither are yours. So that means we have more work to do. That means we have what? More transformation, and that's just going to become by how? By the renewing of our minds. Let me read from God's Word translation. There's some wonderful other translations that help us here. Romans 12:2 from God's Word translation, it says, "Don't become like the people of this world." See, that means don't think like them. Don't conform, that's what it means. Or don't be pressured into thinking like the world. And we're all pressured. I remember, you know, all of us, we work on jobs. You know, I remember some of the stuff they tried to get me to do, or to pressure you into, well, come on, everybody else is doing it, come on. And I said, no, that's all right, no thanks, I'm not joining in. So they're making you feel like you're some kind of an oddball because you don't conform. Whether that's stealing or whether that's, you know, if you're in sales, trying to do something to make a sale or do something, so because everybody's doing it, why not? You know, you're in real estate, you could cut corners somewhere or be dishonest. Well, everybody's doing it. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to conform to the pattern. That's what it says here. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. And then, of course, you know, we're familiar, we've heard this shared before from the Message translation. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. You know, you just kind of fit in with your culture, whatever that is, right? And that culture can be ethnic, or it can just be the culture of your job, or where you are, the culture of your family, or whatever that is, right? So we're not to fit in. Instead, fix your what? Your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. The New Living, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And the Passion Translation, it says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Wow. See, you know, you how many of us were well, I won't ask you to raise your hand. But this last election, you know, a lot of people got fussed at one another in the church because I think this way and you think that way, and put up the dukes, you know, verbally. I don't mean physically, but people were saying things back and forth. Is that the way we're supposed to think? No, we're not supposed to think that way. And so we're supposed to do what? Pray for the persons and ask God to guide us and pray for those people that potentially would be elected. We're not supposed to think like the world. We're not supposed to take sides. You know, I remember Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah for years would not, and we don't, they refused. And I think it's a good position. I've heard some other ministers share that they refuse to take a position on something, because when you do, you potentially alienate people. And we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to embrace the gospel. God is for all people. And that's why he's saying pray for those that are in authority. We're not supposed to do what? Take sides. And then that's just what the devil wants. He doesn't want us to be unified. So this transformation that we're looking for comes by the renewing of our mind. So we need our minds renewed. So let's take a look at Romans 12. Let's back up to Romans 8. I want to delve a little bit on this here. Didn't say that these things would be easy, but for so often, you know, sometimes you hear Brother Hagin teach, you know, he'd say the Lord would deal with them, stop worrying about this. And you'd hear him say, I'm concerned about it, but I'm not going to concern myself about it. That, what does that mean? I'm going to take control. And you want to be concerned about something. You want to worry about it. You want to fuss about it. But the Lord is saying, don't do that. Take control of your thoughts. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, 5 and 6, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, you could say, mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So, what's the difference between something carnal or fleshly and something spiritual? What's the difference? What you think on. That's the determinant or the determining factor, that what we think on, fleshly or carnal, versus something spiritual is what you think on. What you're thinking on determines whether or not it's carnal or fleshly or spiritual. So it matters what we think on. It's critical. So what does this say here? It says, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. So that's pretty strong, isn't it? So if you think on things that are considered death and not spiritual, then it ministers death. And we were talking about that from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, that the soul and the spirit are, as the joint and marrow, are close to one another. They touch. So a lot of times when we, you know, think about this, you can't see a thought, you can't touch a thought. But you can see the results of a thought, and you can see the results of something that you've been thinking on. So it's just like the Lord said. He said, you can't see the wind, but you can see the results of the wind. You can't see a thought. So what does that make a thought? Spiritual. And it can either be what? Death or life. So a thought is spiritual. And that's why a lot of times when we think, oh, it's just a thought, yeah, but the thought is spiritual, and where did the origin of that thought come from? So when people write books and they do movies and they sing music, they've put to music, they've put to film, they've put to a book the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's spiritual, those thoughts, and when you touch it, when you think on it, you touch it. And that's why it's so dangerous, can be, when we touch something that's been inspired by the devil. Because that's essentially what you're doing. When you touch it and you meditate on it, you open your spirit up to it. And it's the same with spiritual things. So you can open yourself up that's been inspired by death or the devil, or you can open yourself up to something that's been inspired by God. What does the scripture say? Holy men of God wrote things that were what? Inspired by God, by the Holy Ghost. So they penned things that were what? Inspired by the Holy Ghost. So that's why it's important what we think on and what we meditate on, because some thoughts can be deadly and dangerous. Can be very deadly and dangerous. And Brother Hagin, you know, he wrote this years ago when he was alive. He said this, he said, the most holy saint of God has found thoughts in their mind that were ugly or repulsive or perverted. He said, why? Because the devil can bring thoughts from the outside. That doesn't mean you came up with them. So thoughts can come. He always used to say this. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you sure can stop it from building a nest. What does that mean? You stop and say, I'm not thinking on that. I'm not allowing you to take up residence. That's really all he's saying. So you, when thoughts come, that's why when we renew our minds, we go, oh, no, I'm not thinking on that. No, that's not godly. Now, we can yield to that and continue to do it. And that's why if we continue to do that, this is why when it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So what would be a good gauge to determine what it is you're thinking on? Whether you got peace. If you don't have peace, you need to check on what you're thinking on. That's what that really means. If you're upset, you're in turmoil about something, or you're all upset about something, and you don't have peace, then you need to go back and say, were those God thoughts? Were those the God kind of thoughts that I should be thinking on? For to be carnally minded is death. What does that mean? You're thinking on something that's not fair. Actually, they did that to me. That's not fair. I'm going to say something. I'm going to do something. That's just not fair. That's unjust. He didn't say to meditate on that and dwell on that. He said, think on those things. We'll go over there in Philippians in a minute. But if you have life and peace, then you can determine, or that's a good determining factor, that you're thinking on something that's spiritual. Amen? Amen. So we have a choice to make when it comes to that. We have a choice, and so we can either decide to think on something and yield to it. And look, we're all growing. We're all, you know, we've all missed it and slipped into something and thought on something, and we begin to talk about it, and we begin to get aggravated over something, and we begin to think on it. Should we continue? We should set that point, go, no, I don't have peace about this. This is bothering me. Shut it down. You know, I've heard, I don't know who it was, maybe it was Pastor Sarah Clinton or whoever, I don't remember, but if you get stuck in a rut, are you making any progress? No, you're not making any progress. You're all upset and in turmoil over something. So we have the mind of Christ. verse 7 in chapter 8. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the what? The flesh cannot please God. Well, what does it say in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that means if you're in the flesh, you're not in faith. Right? Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. Now, let's I was referring to Philippians. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 4. You know, so often, you know, when I hear other ministers that were around Brother Hagin when he was alive, so many nasty things were said about him, written about him. And people would say, you're not going to say anything, Brother Hagin. You're not going to say anything. You're not going to confront that. Nope. He wouldn't touch it. He wouldn't touch it in thought life because he knew. And that's not easy on the flesh, because you may want to get even. You may want to say something. And it may be people in your own camp, maybe people that you work around, you say people saying things about you want to get. But he doesn't say that. He just says, no, cast down these thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, let's look at verse 6, 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Oh, in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me read from some other translations, because it's really good to read these. The Wiest translation in verse 6 says, stop worrying about even one thing. Is that possible? Stop worrying about even one thing. The Letters translation, it says, don't worry about anything, but talk to the Father about everything. The Berkeley translation says, entertain no worry, but under all circumstances, let your petitions be made known before God. The New American Bible, it says, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. Present your needs to God in every form of prayer and in petitions full of gratitude. It says, dismiss all anxiety from your mind. Well, I can't do that. Well, then you're lying. Yes, you can. Because he's saying you should. That means you have the ability to do that. Didn't say it was going to be easy. Didn't say that it would just stop immediately because you say such and such. But it has to go. And it will go, because think about it. When you say you can't, you're already thinking about something all the time. So when you say, I can't stop thinking about this, that's not true. Because you already are thinking about something all the time. It's something that's making you anxious, so you already are doing it. The Beck translation says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, go to God. So that's the key. How do we know whether or not we're thinking on right things or wrong things? What's the indicator? Peace. Life and peace. So if there's no peace, we might be thinking on wrong thoughts. Might be. Just could be. So there's peace in God's thoughts. You can turn over there if you want, but this is a familiar scripture, Isaiah 26:3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So what is that saying? He will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed or fixed on him. Let me read some other translations. The Bible in Basic English, or the BBE, it says, "The man whose heart is unmoved, you will keep in peace because his hope is in you." The New American Standard Bible, it says, "The steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace." That means I'm fixed on something, or what it says in the King James, it said, "whose mind is stayed on thee." It just means it's fixed on him. The New Living, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." So that means when we find our minds wandering over into something and we're entertaining it, we need to begin to say, okay, am I getting agitated over this? Am I feeling agitated? Then that's your marker right there. That's your key. Then I need to stop thinking about it. I need to get off of that because it's leading you into some territory that could cause you some anxiety. And it says it's death-filled. It's going to lead you down a path. Think about it. When you have people that people have gone to, and it's become very prevalent in our society more than I like to see, but you're seeing people now all of a sudden commit what? Suicide. And people that are affluent, people that are not affluent, but what drove them to that place? What drove them to that death was thoughts. They had their mind fixed on something that wasn't right. And so, you may not have that kind of propensity, or you may not have that desire to do that or harm yourself, but a lot of people, they'll go and take drugs, and they'll drink, and they'll do other kinds of things, or just get plain old, as they say, down in the dumps, right? Well, what caused you to get down in the dumps? Your thoughts. You're thinking on something that you shouldn't think on. And this is, I'm not saying any of us are in that position, but I'll tell you, it's a good examination of, is there something that's making me feel uneasy about something? Am I worrying? See, because what does this say? It says, be careful for nothing but in everything. Come to God. What does that mean? If I'm worrying about money or how I'm going to make ends meet, he didn't say to do that. He didn't say, what am I going to do? I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to do this. He said, come to God. Put your petitions before him and operate in faith, right? That's spiritually minded. And we've all been there. We've all, might be anxious about something or worry about something. But the minute those thoughts come, I remember, oh my goodness, it might have been 5 or 6 years ago or 7 years ago or something, just the thoughts of the ministry and all of that coming and weighing and bombarding your mind and thoughts. And man, I left out of here feeling like I walked through 10 miles of bad road. I mean, I'm just thinking, and I'm going home, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, what did I say? He said, the people will come and the money will come. And I went, yep. And all of that I'm thinking, what are you thinking about this for? Why are you worrying about this? Release your faith. Speak those things that God has spoken. Stop worrying. Don't be anxious, because it will lead to death. It will lead to improper thinking. And that's what we have to keep in mind, that, and we're all working through these things. Nobody has arrived in our thinking, because if you have, then that means all your thoughts are Christ-like. And then I'm going to ask for liars, because all of us, our thoughts are not Christ-like. And we're working at that. But this is why we have to read the Word of God, because we need to check ourselves. Are my thoughts Christ-like? And if they're not, then I need to fix them. Right? That's what he's saying. The God's Word translation, Isaiah 26:3, it says, "With perfect peace, you will protect those whose minds cannot be changed because they trust you." Oh man, that's so good. Because I trust you, you can't change my mind. See? And this says here, because of that, with perfect peace, he will protect us. He'll protect me. Because I've decided to fix my mind on him. But when I don't, it says here, he's not going to protect me. Why? Because I'm over in the devil's territory. It's carnal-minded. I'm touching thoughts that were inspired by the devil. So he's not obligated to protect my mind because I chose to think on it. Now he can say, don't do that. Don't think about that. Leave it alone. You know how you tell little kids, don't touch that. You're going to get burnt. Let me test it. Ooh, right? And so it's just like parents, don't do that. You're going to get hurt. It's going to lead to destruction. And that's where God is. He's a loving God. He's saying, don't do that. If he didn't speak to you, we got the word. See, we got the word of God to tell us, don't do it. So I can tell you more often than not, lately, God is stirring my heart. Don't think about that. Stop that. Don't do that. Don't worry about that. Don't think about that. And we make mistakes and we slip back in thinking about it and we get all unraveled. And then he said, don't do that. Stop thinking about that. Right? I know you're all so spiritual, so you never miss it. Yeah. Uh-huh. We walk right out this door and something happens and we lost our composure. Yeah. Joshua 1:8, what does it say? It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate, think about it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So he wants us to think on his thoughts, have his mind night and day. We're not all there yet, but we're getting better. We're getting better with our thoughts and our thinking. And just always keep in mind, when you don't have peace, when you're unsettled about something and you're getting wired up over something, you just stop and say, wait a minute, this is not God. Forget it. Shut it down. Just stop it. reminds me of this little clip. Who was that one, Pastor Greg? What was that? Who was that comedian? Just stop it. Bob Newhart. That is a funny clip. Anybody see it? He had a little skit. He had a 5 minute. It was $5 for 5 minutes. And so somebody would come in. He says, "Okay, I don't take change. It's just $5 cash." And he said, "Okay, you got 5 minutes." So the person would come in and they're talking and giving their little, you know, they're unloading and telling their little stuff. And then, and he said, "Okay." He said, "You can write this down." He said, "Do I need to write it down?" He said, "Oh no, it's very simple. Two words." He said, "Three words, just 3 words. Just stop it." And he shouted at the person. They said, "That's so cruel." He said, "Just stop it." And so sometimes that's what we have to do. Just stop it. Just stop it. You know, we're complaining to God, this is not fair. And he's saying, just stop it. Just don't think on it. I've already given you the solution. Stop complaining to me. I already gave you the answer. Right? Maybe that's why we're not getting an answer from him, because he already gave us the answer in his word. We're complaining and spieling off at God, and this is not right, this is not fair, they're doing this and that, and you're worrying about it, and he's saying, and no answer. It's like he went to Jamaica. What happened? Because he put it in his word. He said right here, be anxious for nothing. Don't think about it. Right? Let's listen to verse 7. Of course, we read this in the King James. It says in the King James, I like this, in Philippians. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now listen to this. This is the Lovett translation. I just love it. Excuse me. But it says, "God's peace, which operates beyond the range of human understanding, will protect your feelings and thought life in Christ." That's just a great translation. God's peace, this is the Lovett translation, Philippians 4:7. God's peace, which operates beyond the range of human understanding, will protect your feelings and thought life in Christ. Why? Because we've decided to cast our care on him and not be anxious. This is the Williams translation. It says, "Then through your union with Christ Jesus, the peace of God that surpasses all human thought will guard over your hearts and thoughts." This is why I say, when you're feeling anxious about something and you don't have peace, he's saying here, if you fix your attention on him, he'll protect your thought life and your thinking. He'll protect it. How? Through the power of God's word. So let's take a look at verse 8 in Philippians. It says, "Finally, brethren," this is where we're heading to here, "finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things." So let me ask a question. If something unjustly happened to you in the natural, are you supposed to go around and say, "That's just not fair. That's just not just. That's just not fair." And you talk about it all the time. "That ain't fair. That's just not fair. I didn't get that raise. That's not fair. That's just not fair." He didn't say, talk about that or think about that. He said, think about what's just and right and pure. Didn't say it was easy. Didn't say it was going to be easy when you're overlooked for something or something happens in the natural and it's unjust or not fair towards you in your eyes. But he said here, don't be anxious for that. Be careful for nothing but what? Everything in prayer and what? Supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? Your brother and sister in Christ. No, it said, let it be known unto God. So if you feel that you were not handled properly, God says, come to me with that. Say, God, this was not fair or just. Please work on my behalf. I believe you're working. He's looking for people who operate in faith, right? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at this as we look at another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 3 and 4 and 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not," what? "War after the flesh." That's the same as what we read over in Romans 8. "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Same thing here. It's saying, "For we walk in the flesh, we do not," what? "War after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought," bringing into captivity our thoughts, to the obedience of Christ. Listen to verse 4 in the Johnson translation. You know, we've read this before. Not this particular, but from the Johnson translation. This is verse 4. It says, "For even though we live in the world, we do not fight on its level. Our implements of war are not manufactured by the world, but loaded by God for smashing fortresses. With them we explode learned discourses and every highfalutin wisecrack against the true knowledge of God." See, that just makes it real plain, right? Our arsenal is loaded by God. And it empowers us with the wisdom of God and the power of God to pull down strongholds and to confront things. That's what it says here. With them, with his arsenal, with them, we explode learned discourses, things that confront the knowledge of God. We explode them and every highfalutin wisecrack against the true knowledge of God. This is the translator's translation. It says, "And pulls down every towering obstacle reared up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought prisoner and make it obey Christ." So these are the things that I really believe this, you know, when the devil's activity is heightened, it's really what we're seeing is a heightened increase in thoughts that are coming. He's not just going to confront you with various things. You know, he's not just going to come right out and just make you sick. He can't make you sick unless there's some kind of demonic influence or something like that, which is can be. But really, what does he do? He gets us with thoughts to do things that puts us in a compromising state. And so these kinds of thoughts, you're seeing more and more thoughts, demonic thoughts that are coming. I mean, I saw a clip, or was it recently? They were showing how this one person, this pastor, was going somewhere. He was on a plane, and he said that he was sitting next to this person, and he saw this person bow, appeared to be praying, and he thought, "Oh, praise the Lord, I'm sitting next to somebody who's a Christian." And so he's, you know, on the plane, and he ended up getting in a conversation with this person, and he said, "Oh, I noticed you were praying." And he said, "You must be a Christian." And the person took offense to it and said, "You know, you are so whatever. You know, who do you think you are thinking that just because I'm praying, I'm a Christian?" He said, "I'm a Satanist. And I'm going to this city," which is where he was going, to this conference. And he said, "We're going, and all of these hundreds of Satanists are coming to pray disruption and confusion in this meeting." And so that's what you have. You have the devil working through people to do things to create what? Thought bombs and all of these things that are affecting people in the ministry, and they're just not guarding their thoughts. People are quitting. People are getting into just problems and mess. And because the devil is on this assault of Christians. It's what really I appreciated about Reverend Gary Crowell, because when I first met him, I mean, I've seen him, but we were in a private setting at a minister's home a couple of years ago, and we were just interacting and talking at this home, and Pastor Greg was with me, and I believe Deacon Phyllis, yeah, she was there, and so there were a number of ministers there. And he was just sharing his experiences with these other ministers. And I happened to be standing there, and he was sharing his experience in China. He said, you know, and he was just sharing. I've been in Haiti, I've been here, and I've been here, and I've been here in these countries. He said, it doesn't even compare to the oppression in China. He said, it is, he said, if you're not careful, if you don't focus, he said, it's like you're in a fog. He said, and if you're not careful, if they pull you aside, they can get you so in interview, you know, in questioning you. He said, they can get you so twisted up with the things that they do in the natural. He said, you'll find yourself in a problem. So it was just an interesting conversation that he just shared about how many can't handle it and don't handle it well in that country. So he just was talking about the spiritual warfare. Do you think Paul wrote that in there and was inspired to write it for a purpose? I do. And then I think this time that we live, we need to guard our minds and we need to watch what we think on, what we read, what we listen to, music-wise, what we're watching, and so forth, and what we think on. Because it can be life or death. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And God, what did Jesus say? I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So we need to guard our thinking. And I know this is an area that I have observed, and it raises questions. Maybe you have questions, maybe you've observed someone, or maybe you've know somebody that seems to have not just broken through to another place in Christ. Could be their thinking. Could be what they're thinking on. Could be. Not saying it is, but it could be. So that just means that, what does it say? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, be changed into another person by the renewing of your mind. So that means wherever we are, we can be changed further. We can be changed more into Christ likeness by the renewing of our mind. That means there's more. That means we can become more Christ-like in our thinking by renewing of our mind. Amen. I know you're excited about this. Please wake up, because it's life. It is critical. I'm serious, because this is, you see people that are becoming anxious about things in life, and God never intended that. He never intended us to be anxious about things in life personally or where you work. So, praise the Lord. I hope you're getting a little something out of this, because it's helping me evaluate my thought life and evaluate what I'm thinking on and how I'm thinking, because it is critical in this time that we live in. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you're challenging us to examine our thinking and examine what we think on and how we think and whether we're anxious. And if we don't have peace about something, you're giving us the formula, or you could say you're giving us the checklist. You're giving us a checklist of things. This is what we're supposed to do, and this is what we're not supposed to do. And so we thank you for it. We thank you that even when we miss it, we thank you that your Spirit is in us. He leads us into all truth, and he shows us where we're missing it. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal to us where we need to make corrections so that we can become more fruitful, we can become more Christ-like in our thinking and actions in this day that we live in. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I trust that, you know, you get these messages and think about it, because I'll tell you, every one of us need to make corrections, every one. And in our thinking about how we approach certain things, whether it's money, whether it's your children, whether it's your job, whether it's your life, whether it's your health. You know, it can be all these things. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves over into something, thinking about something that leads us unto death, or some areas that can be not full of life and power and peace. And so if we're not careful with that, it can lead some to their demise. And it has. So praise the Lord. Glory to God.